Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. This is indeed the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. As the announcer kindly introduced me, my name is Josh Cobb, and I'm super excited about today's show. I'll be joined by Jason Rose, the Chief Digital Officer at Rental Express. Jason is going to share with us his background in real estate sales and auctioneering, why he decided to focus on property management, and how Rental Express have grown to over 4,000 properties under management. I've also got an exciting discovery I'd like to share with you before we speak with Jason, so let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
So the resource I wanted to share with you this week is called Canva, and it's spelled C-A-N-V-A. And Canva is an online tool that helps you create beautiful looking graphics and designs for your business, for use in things like your blog articles, your social media, your newsletters and email templates. It gives you a whole library full of graphics and icons and designs that can help you piece these together yourself, even if you're not a graphic designer. So it's super easy to use. It's online, it's free. Everyone in the business can get involved in creating these designs for you, and it can really help you stand out online as opposed to just your text articles, that any blog articles that you're posting with just text. You can really add some zing to the blog article with these designs and add your branding and logos and things like that as well. So check it out. It's www.canva.com, and have a bit of fun creating these designs with your team for your business. And with that, let's transition into today's interview. So I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Jason Rose from Rental Express. Jason is the Chief Digital Officer at Rental Express, which has multiple offices located in Southeast Queensland. Rental Express is Queensland's largest and Australia's fastest growing property management organisation. Just last year, under Jason's guidance, the team of business development managers at Rental Express signed up over 940 new managements, and the offices now collectively manage over 4,000 properties. Jason, I've given our listeners just a quick overview, but take a minute, tell us a little bit about you personally, and then give us an overview of your business.
Thanks, Josh. Me personally, I started my career back in 1987 in a small country town in Armidale in New South Wales as a livestock auctioneer. And one of the things when you work in a small country town is you usually take on a number of roles within the business. And I also at that particular point in time managed a portfolio of 32 properties for the business for a period of 6 years. And that grew from 32 and stayed at 32 for 6 years. So didn't grow too much over that particular period of time, but I was probably at the time lucky to see when I moved to Queensland. I was glad that I saw the end of property management at that particular part of time in my career. So, but a big change around to come around obviously 10 years ago when we started this business here. So,
well, we'll get into some of the strategies and systems you have in place to help you execute, I guess, the amazing growth that Rental Express has experienced. But first, let's go back to 2006. You were running a successful sales business at the time. Why on earth did you decide to switch across and focus more on property management? And did you still continue to operate a sales team at that time?
Yeah, our focus towards the growth side of things actually happened a couple of years prior to that. 2005 is when we actually kicked it off, and we were put our first BDMs in place in 2005, which I was the founding BDM for the business. And 2006 is when we actually created the brand of Rental Express, and we sold our sales business. And the reason that came about was at that particular in our pre-Rental Express days, at that particular point in time, we were about 1,200 properties under management, and we'd made a couple of acquisitions on the south side of Brisbane where there was already a franchise of our particular company that we were working for operating, so we couldn't go and open an office in that particular suburb in competition to them under that franchise. So we thought the easiest thing was to sell our sales business and rebrand and create the business of Rental Express.
And why did you decide to move across to focus more on property management? What was the motivating philosophy around that?
I suppose when you're managing a sales team and sales people, one of the things you've got to deal with is a lot of ego that's actually associated with the top performing agents. And also it was a lot more challenging back then trying to get systemized processes across the business that every salesperson would apply, especially when you're dealing with commission only salespeople. So as far as actually managing process, it was, as I said, a little bit difficult on the sales side, whereas on the property management side of things, it is all process driven, with people applying those particular processes within the business. So you can have a change in staff member and not have a major hiccup, both in revenue for a business and also processes that have been delivered to the clients and customers at that particular point in time. And we found it was a lot more easy to scale a business through property management than it was with on the sales side of things.
And when you moved across and rebranded to Rental Express in 2006, how many properties did the company start with?
Before the day we became Rental Express, we were 1,200. The day we became Rental Express, we were at 2,000. So we made three acquisitions of 800 properties in total that all settled on the one day. And that's when we became Rental Express in October of 2006.
And with the business now sitting at more than 4,000 properties under management, how much of the growth has been, I guess, what is traditionally called organic, and how much of that has been through acquisition?
Oh, when you track the numbers over the years with the business, we're probably about 50-50 with the numbers of when you look at your attrition and everything that like that on an annual basis. As far as acquisitions, you know, our last acquisition we made was in 2011, and it was only a small rent roll of about 230 properties that we topped up into an existing office, and prior to that was 2009 to create our Southport office. So since then, you know, organic, the two processes go hand in hand, organic and acquisition. But we look at it and say the organic stuff will fund the asset to be able to, you know, or the equity to go and make the acquisitions if they become available and make sense at that particular point in time.
And do you have any sales sides to the business? Have you got any referral relationships set up in that regard?
We got out of sales, as I said, in 2006 and sold the sales business off. We did get back into sales a few years later, and we do have a sales business under a completely different brand, a separate entity, and run completely separate that refer back and forth across. But saying that, we have a lot of referral relationships with other real estate agencies and
sales agencies, you mean?
Yeah, sales agencies, yeah. To refer managements back across when they need them looked after. So.
And being, I know how much you know your numbers, Jason. And what's the exact number of managements you're sitting at today?
As of the beginning of the month, we're just about halfway through this month now, we were 4,147 at the beginning of August 2014. So we look at those numbers at the end of the month, obviously, from a growth and attrition point of view.
Mm. And across how many offices? I did mention before there was numerous offices under the Rental Express brand. Where are they located?
We've currently got five offices, four of those being located in Brisbane, one of those at Southport on the Gold Coast. In Brisbane, our main head office is located in Wilston on the north side of Brisbane. We have a south side office at Upper Mount Gravatt, a further north side office at Kalanga up in the Moreton Bay area, and a new office as of last year at Forest Lake out in the Western Corridor, which is purely an organic office. No acquisitions were made to get that office up and running.
And Jason, we often hear the 20,000 foot analogies of, I guess, how someone or a company has succeeded in their real estate business. But here on this podcast, I want to take it down to that ground level, to actual moments in time throughout the life cycle of your business where you felt like you were either struggling or succeeding. And there'll be lots of business owners, I'm sure, listening today who have a rent roll, a property manager or a business development manager working in an office that just can't seem to break through that glass ceiling of rent roll growth. And some businesses get to a certain amount of properties, and I'm sure everyone listening can understand, they get to that level and then just they seem to hover around that number for what feels like forever. So with that in mind, can you take us to a moment, or were there multiple moments when you felt as if you weren't growing as fast as you would have liked? And tell us what was going through your mind at the time and, I guess, what you did to break through that glass ceiling.
It's, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about the numbers, and it's all about, yes, there is some numbers as far as properties under management where you'll see, you know, if you have one business development manager on and your attrition that you find naturally through the business, whether that's properties being sold, owners moving back in, and obviously from a service point of view, that whatever you bring on starts to match what you're actually losing on an annualised basis. And a lot of, you know, I suppose business owners find it hard to, you know, how do we actually get net growth in the business? And from a property management point of view, it's exactly the same as sales. If you want to double the sales volume you do, the easiest way to double the sales volume is double your sales team. But your challenge with that is I suppose for most business owners are looking, you know, how do we grow it? And getting the head around that side of things. And rather than just saying to a BDM or a BDO, whatever you want to call them at the end of the day, you know, there you are, it's your job to go and grow it. Actually putting some structure in place and process in place of how they're actually going to grow it, that you have those numbers consistently coming in. So
there was obviously stages where you either acquired a new rent roll or went through a growth phase. Is there a moment in particular that you really had to make a big change, whether it was a piece of technology, software, staffing? Was there a particular moment where you had to pivot from where you were that sort of sticks out?
Yeah, 2008 was one of those for us, certainly from a software point of view. At that particular point in time, three offices, using a software platform at that particular point in time, there was probably more designed for a small agency, 300-500 properties. It wasn't built for, you know, a really large scalable business with a lot of data that was associated with it. So in 2008, we went away from a traditional, you know, property management software package to licensing a product off one of our main competitors with an all-in-one software product. So for that, in the end of 2008, was a massive change for us. Having one bit of software that handled all aspects of the property management side, rather than having, you know, multiple products that had to try and talk to each other through APIs or either not talking to each other, so straight away we saw efficiencies within the business by using one piece of software rather than multiple pieces.
From a staffing level, how was it preventing the staff from? Was it preventing them from doing certain tasks? Was it slowing them down? Aside from the business decision to scale to the next level, what were some of the staffing the issues that some of the staff were having?
Around efficiency, like it's when you have to jump from one software product to another to be able to function on a daily basis rather than having access to everything in one spot, you lose efficiency in how you operate. So whilst it's not easy to actually put a monetary figure on it, it made a massive difference on the efficiency and the ability to be able to manage property effectively, and also the numbers of properties that you could effectively manage as well. So,
well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Is there anything in particular or a moment in time that has made you feel reassurance that the formula you guys had in place was the right way to go about growing a rent roll? Does any stories that stick out in your mind?
Probably last year. We sat down and worked out, you know, our big why for the business and where we're heading, and to have a clear direction for the business. We had a couple of other opportunities that were put forward to us in the couple of years prior to that were a bit of a distraction for us. But at the beginning of last year, we said, we're going to go out guns and all, and we opened two new offices. We doubled our BDM team. We put a big focus on the processes within that business development team. The beginning of 2013, we decided to really hammer it out and get it happening. So,
and what was you essentially the moment where you realised, okay, we have essentially a system here that we're working on that we know that works? Was there an amount of properties under management that was the goal? What was the goal?
We had a massive goal as far as the big, hairy, audacious goal for the business. But it's also a case of, from our point of view, as far as growing a property management business, there's the big companies out there that have gone public that have had the numbers under them, but most of that was done through acquisition. No one's actually, from where we can see, actually gone out and grown a massive business from organic and from scratch. So for us, it's still a learning curve. It's certainly a case of trying to work out, we can work out how to grow an individual office, but it's now starting to work out how do you do that on, going from 5 to 10. And you know, one of the biggest challenges you have that is obviously with the quality of the people you've got, you know, managing those particular locations and the staff that are in those locations as well. So,
how many staff have you got in all five offices now, Jason?
We have internally here about 53 across all of our locations internally within the property management side of things.
And did you just want to touch on very quickly the I guess the role of the property manager? I've gotten to know you quite a bit over the last 12 months and understanding how it's not your traditional portfolio or task or pod structure, is it?
No, I know we've tried everything to get what works best and you know, and it comes down to individual business and how you operate as an individual business and what's going to work best for you in your particular company. You know, at the end of the day, a property manager has to wear many, many, many different hats and, you know, the main skill that you need as a property manager is to be a good communicator and be able to communicate to all the people that you come in contact with. You know, and certainly one of the blockages that, you know, we find with property managers of doing their job effectively is a lot of the admin side of things that they need to be doing on a day-to-day basis, which is not the, you know, the best use of their time, even though they might be good at it. The best use of their time is obviously that communication side of things and putting a structure in place that that can allow that.
No doubt. And the three biggest challenges every person working in real estate faces when, I guess, marketing their services, Jason, is either creating awareness of the brand, generating leads, or increasing loyalty and advocacy. Can you give our listeners an overview of your marketing strategies, technologies, and philosophies behind solving some of these challenges?
From a marketing point of view, we're very much, most of our marketing's geared around what's called direct response marketing. In other words, we'll market out to get a response and be able to measure it from a particular, you know, source rather than your traditional what's called brand marketing, which is just, you know, more or less getting out there and saying we're the greatest, we're the best, which has traditionally been very, very difficult to actually track and measure to see whether it's actually effective. So, you know, as a small business, you know, most businesses' budgets are small or non-existent in some cases. So you've got to work out what works for you and what doesn't. And obviously for the stuff that works, you can ramp that up. For the stuff that doesn't, you either try it a couple of different ways or you turn that particular thing off. So we're very much a case of measuring most things in the business and happy to spend money on things if we're getting a return out of it at the end of the day.
Sure. And it's another thing that we should disclose that we spent a little bit of time at Inman Conference over in San Francisco just recently, and we had a look at some of the technologies that are available to some people in the States and how much focus is put on the social media side of things. Can you explain for everyone listening some of the content that's available to your prospects and how that flows into that direct response marketing strategy?
With, I suppose, a Facebook point of view is I'll just take back a step to give you a bit of a background on that and why we decided to have a bit of a look at Facebook. Back in 2009, when we were going back through our Google Analytics of how people actually coming to our website, we found that our number five referring source to our site was actually Facebook. And at that particular point in time, we weren't on Facebook. So we thought, what's going on here? You know, there's people conversing about us or about our brand, and we're not part of that conversation. So we started looking Facebook and, I suppose, experimenting a little bit like a lot of businesses. And I think even for most businesses today, as far as their Facebook strategy, I don't think they have one. So that's the front end. From the back end point of view, since Facebook have gone public, they are an advertising platform. And they have a number of tools in place that allow you as a business or an individual to market to other people within Facebook. And there's a number of things in there. There's obviously just a pure advertising platform where you can place your ads. But there is also what they call in the industry remarketing, which allows you to, if someone comes to your website and looks at a particular page, you can lay what's called a cookie on that page that attaches itself to that particular user and will follow that user around the wide world web. and you're able to target ads specifically to those users based on whatever, you know, whatever thing they've come to your page on.
We should probably add in there as well, Jason, that for people listening thinking, oh, that's a bit spooky and a bit stalkerish, it's not actually grabbing any email addresses or names or anything. It's purely just their digital ID, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's we're not stalking, but I refer to it as stalker marketing because it seems to pop up everywhere you go.
It does.
But also they've, I suppose, expanded on that recently, the ability to be able to add email addresses into the back of, as far as lists in the back of Facebook. And if those people have a Facebook account associated with that email address, you can target specific ads to those people. So
I might just take it back a step as well for, and sort of break it down for people that don't quite understand what that remarketing,
it's pretty,
how that
pretty
works.
High
is.
Over,
yeah. And when people, if you've ever been to a website to look at a car or, a clothing brand or something like that, and if you've ever wondered why then you go to, say, you know, a news website or somewhere else, and that an ad for that car or those pairs of shoes that you're looking at buying pops up on the right-hand side of your screen, and you're thinking, how did they know I'm interested in something like that? That's exactly what Jason's referring to around the remarketing side of things. And it's there's a lot of brands, a lot of real estate brands over in the States are using it. I know, Jason, you're using it and getting great results out of it. And it's certainly something people should have a look at. I know it's something that I'm advising all my clients on at the moment that I'm consulting to. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, and saying that as well, it's we do employ a company that looks after our strategy on that side of things. So you can bugger it up if you try and do it yourself and cause yourself a little bit of grief. So my recommendation is go to an expert on that side of things.
If we just delve into very, very quickly on the Facebook side of things, and that's something else that people may not be quite aware of yet, that Facebook has certainly released some features in the back end of their analytics and in your ad platform. If you're ever running an ad for your real estate business on Facebook, do you just want to explain, Jason, how sophisticated the targeting of that is and what sort of demographics or and that sort of thing? Is that something that the company that's looking after it for you goes into with you?
Yeah, that's another part of it. It's breaking it down, and in the marketing world, it's called target marketing. In other words, who is your target market that you're looking for, and you're really placing your ads towards them. To give you a bit of context around that, if you look at, say, advertising on television, that is going to be those ads that appear on television will go to everyone that's watching that particular television station at that particular point in time. Whereas when you look at the target side of things, you might be looking at a particular demographic or geographic. You can break it down to, I'm looking for, you can break it down into the sex. You might be saying, I'm looking at for males between the age of 25 to 35 that live in a certain location and be able to target ads specifically to them, or a particular industry or job that those people might be associated with, and so forth. So you can really target it down, and they'll give you the number of people that are in Facebook as far as users that are actually in that particular target market. So the more tight you are with it, the higher level of response, because you're actually targeting an ad specifically to particular target market that you're looking for.
Well, it's the holy grail of marketing, which is relevance, and I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And there's a company over in, if I can just give an example of someone that's actually doing this, I met with a lady, a broker, as they call, or a principal at Inman Conference, and she was from Houston, Texas, and they're using targeted Facebook ads that are highly relevant to their real estate business. And there was a community drive that was being run by an external third party, not their company, and they segmented their audience or the people they were targeting ads to on Facebook to a very, very specific area, but bringing people back to their website. So it wasn't sending them to the website of the event, and the amount of traffic they generated to their website as a result of that was amazing, all through a targeted Facebook ad, because it was relevant to, I think it was families, it was about a school fete or something like that. So certainly I see this as a big opportunity for real estate brands out there, is to really have a look at the opportunities that are available to you through Facebook and how specific the target markets that you can pull out of that.
Yeah, I'll just say one thing with that, Josh, from a remarketing point of view and the target marketing, It is a lot easier to do that if you are a sales-based business than it is a property management business.
You bet.
And that from a property management side of things is the people that own the investment property don't necessarily live in the suburb where their investment property is.
Great point. Yeah, good
so
point.
So that's back to the target market. So you've got to find out where they live and then be able to, you know, it's virtually about reverse engineering your traditional sales-based prospecting systems and looking at, you know, they're usually a diametrically opposed process around it from a property management point of view.
Mm. And really where it comes back to is that old chestnut around database, doesn't it? How healthy is your database in the first place? It's amazing, isn't it, Jason, the amount of people that still, in 2014, the importance of a database, whether it's,
Totally agree. And you know, it's that's, I suppose, one of the beauties that I see it from a property management point of view is that, you know, we might pitch to win the business with a particular client today and not win the opportunity and they elect to go with someone else, but that person still owns the property next month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 5 years down the track, that, you know, we've got to be on the shopping list to those particular people in case the other agent, you know, drops the ball somewhere along the process.
Jason, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'm going to throw five questions at you very quickly and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, let's hear our fast fact of the week. This week's interesting fast fact comes from the 2014 Macquarie Benchmarking Report. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, every couple of years, Macquarie Bank conducts a benchmarking study of real estate businesses all around Australia and asks agencies to submit their results around business performance, business objectives, and a range of other metrics, including human resource management and things like marketing strategies. There was a statistic in the 2014 report that I found particularly interesting considering what we do here at Steps. It was that 64% of agencies are using social media to advertise their property listings. But interestingly, then on the same page where it asks where is the perceived best places to generate sales inquiries, social media didn't rank at all. So considering the amount of time some agencies are spending uploading their listings to their social media channels but aren't seeing any results whatsoever, is it time to stop posting our property listings on social media and look at other ways we can engage our fans and followers? I'm keen to hear your thoughts and what's working for you on social media. So drop me a line via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Okay, Jason, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where we ask you five fast questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Oh, I suppose I am now.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career in real estate and why.
I'd have to say, and this probably sent to a lot of people, John McGrath. He has been for, you know, since I moved to Brisbane in 97, you know, a leader in the industry, and he's, you know, the shining light as far as the industry side of things for the whole real estate industry.
What is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Either watching a game of rugby, either on TV or actually in person.
Rugby league or rugby union?
Union.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
My favourite. It's one that I've recently read, and it's probably my favourite at the moment because it is recent. Called The Lean Startup, and one of their processes they call in it MVP or Minimal Viable Product. That's certainly hitting home with a lot of things at the moment.
What is your favourite technology resource you use daily to help you run a better business?
I'd have to say my iPhone. iPhone is the go-to tool for everything, I think, for most things today.
Yeah, you bet. Is there any particular app or anything on the iPhone that you love using?
Other than email and telephone, my two most used apps are podcast app and Audible app.
I'm glad you like podcast app. That's good.
Don't listen to the radio at all. It's all podcasts and audiobooks.
It's often said that success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties the business sells or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Biggest challenge in whether it is sales or property management is communication. The easiest way to overcome it is to pick up the bloody phone.
I love it. Well, listeners, you can find the links to all these great resources, including the suggestions that Jason's made, along with all of today's show notes on steps.com.au/JasonRose. And Jason, just before we go, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. Something I always like to end on. What is your favourite success quote and why?
Oh, favourite success quote. What is your blockage to success?
Is that Jason Rose Proprietary Limited?
No, it was actually, no? I heard it a few years ago, but I'm going to put my stamp on it. I look at everything that we do within the business that causes blockages and how we solve them. We're all going to solve them through better software, better people, or better training of our people, or outsourcing or offshoring. Three ways to solve those blockages.
Fantastic. Well, look, on behalf of our listeners, Jason, I'd like to say thanks for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Rental Express?
Our website's rentalexpress.com.au. Twitter is at Rental Express. Facebook is facebook.com/RentalExpress. RentalExpress.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. If you're new to podcasts, jump onto the App Store and download the podcast app. Subscribe to the Real Estate Pros podcast and you'll be able to listen on the go. If you love the show, please leave us a review on iTunes, and you can also subscribe via our website to be the first to receive every episode straight to your email inbox, along with other helpful articles as we publish them each week. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, I'd love to get your feedback on how we can improve, because at the end of the day, this show is all about helping you, the real estate pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to speaking with you soon. Bye for now.